you got all these areas. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But Job 42 and verse 2 says something amazing there. Whatever your problem is, Job 42 and verse 2. says, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to say that with your mouth every day, morning and evening while you're fasting and praying. I know, Lord, that you can do everything. No matter what my problem is, I know you can do everything. You believe that? Amen. You can do everything. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17 says there is nothing impossible with God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you still believe that? Well, some of you have been struggling with discouragement because you have lost your purpose and you have lost your focus. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to keep our focus on the Lord and to keep our eyes upon Jesus himself and allow him to guide us day by day by day. Amen. Amen. Some of you have got in the struggle of, wanting to see a breakthrough with things that you have been praying for a long time. How many of you believe that God will answer you? Amen. Not a single prayer that you pray will be without effect. Amen. His eyes are towards your prayer. His ears are open towards your prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. And he has promised from his word in Georgia, I think it is in Psalms 34 and verse 5, that his ears are open to your prayer. His ears are attentive. The one version is the word attentive. His ears are attentive. I mean, you might not be attentive to him, but at least his ears are attentive towards you. Amen. And he is willing to answer you. You still believe that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. These are some of the reasons why we are fasting. And the reason we are fasting, we are mainly going on a water fast with snacks in between. No, we are on a water fast. Amen. And those of you who are either on medication or you can't fast because either you are pregnant or you have a reason not to fast medically, please make sure that you don't fast. You can sacrifice a little bit of your pleasures here and there, but make sure that while you're fasting, you're praying. Amen. Fasting and praying. Seeking the face of the Lord. Not seeking a preacher. See, it is amazing when you read Acts 13, verses 1 and 2. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. Second verse, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Amen. It is powerful. The church at Antioch had prophets, had teachers. You would expect them to be hearing a message or listening to prophecy. But my Bible says they were fasting and worshiping the Lord. Isn't it amazing? If St. Paul was sitting here and some of the great prophets were here, you would expect them to get up and have a word for your life. You would expect them to give you a teaching from morning to evening. Oh, what a pleasure to just hear the word of God from morning to evening. But my Bible says with all the prophets and teachers in the church, they were fasting and worshiping the Lord. Amen. And since they were fasting and worshiping the Lord, God spoke. Amen. And it's amazing, God actually spoke to the prophets. And to the ones whom he had to send. Amen. I believe they were in a frame of mind, Lord, whatever it is, I want to do your will. And God will communicate with anyone who has got that kind of attitude. Lord, I pray that you will communicate with me because I want to do your will. See, if you have already planned out your life and you're fasting and praying, already predetermined, 7 days, on the 8th day, 25th, I'm going to break fast, have the roast turkey or whatever, go on a holiday, and if you have already planned your life from 25th to 31st or for the rest of your life, you have already determined what God can do for you. But if on the 24th evening, if the Lord should show up and say, listen, change your plans, we're going to change our plans, you're going to be a monk, and you're going to sit here and worship the Lord the whole of next year, worshiping the Lord. Amen. How many of you would be glad to throw your hands up and say, praise God? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if you already planned out everything, so you will only be close to the Lord as much as you want to. So if you have already determined how much you will sacrifice, how much you will surrender, what all you will do, and if you have already planned on the thought that you had in the past of your life, what you had done before, and if you're looking that to guide you into the future and say, okay, I had done all that before, and I saw some shades of revival in my life, and maybe I'll do the same things again. Maybe you might have to. I do not know. But if you're going to have that kind of framework in your mind or mindset, and you're going to come here and worship the Lord, let me tell you, seldom will you find the hand of God reaching out to you. Are you with me? So sit here with an attitude, Lord, it is nothing else, but I am submissive to your will. If you're asking me to give up something, I am willing to. If you're asking me to sacrifice something, I'm willing to. If you're asking me to obey you in this area, I'm willing to, Lord. Nothing of my plans, it is your plans, your will in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And with that kind of surrender and that kind of attitude, if you come to worship the Lord, let me tell you, no man of God might have to prophesy over you, but you will find the hand of the Lord reaching up to you and setting you free and blessing your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Some of us can, you know, when we come in for our fasting and prayer, we can come in and say, listen, I want to hear a fresh message, something new. Now, I don't think we're going to preach anything new. Are you with me? Amen. We're not going to preach anything new. We're going to allow the Spirit of God to awaken us to some truth that we maybe already know, but which we have never walked in. But I pray that you will walk in. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to take it day by day. There'll be days and evenings where we just worship the Lord, not hear the message even. There'll be days in which we just pray. Just pray. Are you with me? There are days in which we will be just having a time of feasting on the Word and chewing on the Word and meditating on the Word. There might be days with music, there might be days without music. But the main thing is looking unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So this evening we're going to look to a Word, and we're going to allow the Word to dissect us and to show us little areas where we can be corrected and changed. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know there's a blessing in correction? Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 23. 23 and verse 8. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He questioned him with many words, but Jesus answered Herod nothing. Now I was meditating on that word, and I realized that the Lord will never speak for entertainment's sake. Are you looking for a word over your situation? God might speak to you, but He will never speak to you for entertainment's sake. See, Herod had heard a lot about Jesus. And he said, let me see if the Lord will say something to me. Let me just see Him. He's supposed to be the Messiah. He's supposed to be the Son of God. Let me just try to see whether He will speak something to me and tell me about my future. And a sure sign of spiritual deception is when you have that kind of attitude. And especially in the Pentecostal and charismatic circles, many people go into error and into deception because they would gladly hear what they want to hear without actually hearing what God wants to communicate to them. Are you with me? And you go from prophets to prophets, from people to people, say, listen, speak something to me. Tell me something that I want to hear. Let me just see you. And sometimes I look at people who come to me and say, do you have a word for me? Well, if I have a word for you, I would give it to you. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. What you need to understand from that word is, He will never speak for entertainment. Now many people in you know, how many of you ever prayed, Lord speak to me, Lord speak to me, Lord speak to me? Have you ever prayed? Why? See, He will not speak to you for a sensation. Are you with me? Today, you know, when He speaks, He will demand an obedience. He doesn't speak for the fun of it. We might do that. When the Lord speaks something, the underlying thing about it is obedience. Amen. Now what happens to most people, and I pray that it will never happen to us, and if we have fallen that trap, we will come out of that snare, where it says in James chapter 1 and verse 22, do not be deceived by being hearers of the word and not being doers of the word. In other words, what God is saying is, listen, you love to hear, but you don't like to do. Now, if you have that kind of attitude, you will not get out of deception, but you will actually go into deception. Are you with me? Come on, church. But we're going to open our hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to be a hearer of the word. I want to make sure that I do your word, which is the area that you're trying to communicate with me during these days of prayer, where I'm seeking your face, Lord, that I can obey you. Amen. And the minute you take a step of obedience, you will find the hand of God reaching out to you and setting you free. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a second reason why Jesus did not speak to Herod. You know why? Because the Lord Himself had sent a prophet called John the Baptist to Herod before. And Herod had killed him. You hear that? Herod had killed that prophetic voice which God had sent across his way. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, it says, John the Baptist came, a man who was on fire for God. He came and declared the word over Herod and said, you are living with your brother's wife, which is sin, so repent. It is amazing. In Mark 6 it says, Herod would gladly hear to what John had to say. Are you with me? Gladly. But he wouldn't obey. See, if you're fasting and praying and saying, Lord, speak to me, without having obeyed already what God has said to you, you will find there is a stony silence. Hear that? Amen. There is a stony silence over your life. You will find that that rhema is not there. You're getting a lot of spiritual information, a lot of spiritual input, But that rhema is not there. You know, I believe some of the reasons why so many people muck up knowledge into their head, Bible knowledge, is because somewhere inside of them, they've rejected the real voice of God. They've rejected the still small voice of God in their lives, and that is tearing them apart. And so what they do is they will just on the TBN or the, I'm not against those channels, I love those channels myself. They will listen to every preacher, every message, read every spiritual book without actually obeying that very thing which God had already spoken unto them. Hear that? You get a lot of spiritual information, and that what gives you is a big head and a small heart. You seen people with big head? People with big head? Huh? That kind of head? What do you say when you see them? Mangana. Can you imagine some of the angels of God standing around us saying, Mangana? Come on. We don't want a big head. Are you with me? God has given us a good enough heart that needs to be filled with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. Welcome this evening to the fasting and prayer day one. Hallelujah. He had already killed that voice. Are you with me? See, when you're checking God for a fresh voice or obedience, you should see whether you have already silenced His voice before. So during these days of fasting and prayer, see, which are the things that the Lord had asked me to obey? There's something called general obedience, which is there for everyone. Are you with me? General obedience is from the Word of God, you know certain truths. If you believe in me, be baptized and you shall be saved. That's for everyone. Amen? Amen. So there are scripture verses. If you confess your sins to me, I am faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's general obedience. Anyone who confesses, God will forgive. Are you with me? Whether you are a newborn believer or a believer for a long time but committed the worst of sins, still Jesus will forgive the minute you confess. Amen. Once to a pastor, a man of God, a person came, a believer, and he said, I have dirtied my life so much. I've come into the most horrible of things. Can God forgive me? And the pastor looked out. It was, you know, snowing outside, and there's a lot of snow. And he said, see, there are two roads, one from the left and from the right. One road is full of gutters, a lot of pits and holes in those roads. The other is freshly tarred, well-tarred road. But which one is which? Which is the tarred road and which is the one that has got potholes and all that? This man said, I don't know, because there is snow all over all of them. You hear that? There is snow over both the roads. That's right. Come, let us reason together. Even though your sins be as scarlet, I will make it whiter than snow. No matter whether you have come into the most horrible of pits or fallen into the greatest of pits. Hallelujah. Or your life has been relatively smooth and good and well tarred outside. When the snow of God's forgiveness and His blood begins to flow forth for you, let me tell you, He has completely erased that out of your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So what I call general obedience is general things that you need to obey. Now you don't come and fast and pray and Lord, I want to prosper without tithing. Now that tithing scripturally is the biblical principle for you to come out of your debt and to walk into the prosperity of God. Now it'll work for you, it'll work for me, it'll work for anyone who obeys. Are you with me? That is general obedience. Come on, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So there is general obedience and there are specific obediences that God has asked you. And then that might be different from the one sitting next to you. Now you might have a relationship with someone that might be wrong. Are you with me? And God might have asked you to give up that relationship. Now you don't look at it and say, listen, the rest of the church is also God, people like that and friends like that. So why should I? No, no, no. It's your personal thing. You understand what I'm saying? Come on, church. Yes? Amen. It's your personal thing. Well, the Lord might have called you to go on a mission. How many of the Lord might have asked you to join up with this church? That might be specific for you, but you can't say, listen, I don't know what my brother-in-law will say, what my mother-in-law will say. Are you with me? Amen. See, Jesus did not say a single word to Herod. Why? Because he had already killed the voice of John, whom God had sent to him. 2. Mark chapter 6. Verse 14. Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known, speaking about Jesus. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. John the Baptist he had already killed. But Herod is saying, when Jesus is doing miracles, I think John the Baptist has come back from the dead. You know why? Because his conscience was troubling him. The second voice that he had silenced was the voice of his own conscience. The very voice of his conscience. He had silenced it. And so, when Jesus stood before him, the Lord did not say a word. Can you imagine that? If the Lord was to visit us this evening, and Jesus himself walks through this door and comes into this place, and is walking by and says, girl, I've got a word for you. Sister, I've got a word for you. A word for you. And then goes on and says, a word for you, a word for you. And then comes to you and says, mm-mm. Oh my God, I can understand prophets doing that. I can understand people of God doing that. But if Jesus himself was to walk into this place and do that, can you imagine? The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, is standing before Herod and he was silent. That's why one of the great men of God said, Lord, do anything. Hit me, rebuke me, correct me, do anything that you want. But please don't be silent. But Lord, please don't be silent. A lot of people miss out on the voice of God. You know why? Because of they want something sensational. They want the excitement. They're looking for excitement and sensationalism. So they say, ah, something, boom. No. It's a still small voice. And if you have rejected the second voice of your conscience, and just, you know what to do in your conscience, don't you? Your conscience, you might not find a single scripture, to tell you that it's wrong. But in your conscience, it might be between you and the Lord. Your conscience might say it's wrong. And you know it. And you just start it up. You know you want to be a blessed, but you won't work. And your conscience is telling you work. Mm-mm. You might not need an audible voice to tell you that. You know that. You have a problem with a brother or sister. Every time you see that person, you want to turn your face away. In your conscience, you know there is a bitterness. Outside, there is nothing wrong. How are you? But deep within, you know, something is not right. Something is not right. Something is not right. How many of you understand what I'm saying this evening? You were under fire and excitement today evening? God said no. You're going to take day by day, allowing the Holy Spirit to correct, rebuke, and change us. Step by step by step by step. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't want to go into the new year with old baggage. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have carried it all through 2003. Is this 2003? Yes? I forget the year. Which? Yeah. You don't want to go in 2004 with the same baggage. The same dirty smelling clothes that you've been wearing. Like something fresh, don't you? Amen. Like to be corrected and changed and allow the Spirit of God to do it. He had rejected the second voice. Not only of the prophet, of his own conscience. Are you with me? And that's why Jesus kept silent when the Lord came before him. Open with me Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 1. Therefore, we must keep the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Are you with me? What should you do? Give more earnest heed. Third chapter. Verse 15. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, what does it say? Do not harden your hearts as in the... Today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Read the fifth chapter. Hebrews 5. Where is it? Let me see. Okay, the 11th verse. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of. So we have, in Hebrews 2, it starts with drifting because we don't pay attention to what's being spoken. Then that later turns out to a slight kind of heartening. Are you with me? Some of you are wondering why you lost your fire for God's word. And really, you just drift things. Just drifting. Then becomes a kind of hardening. That's when you have an unbelieving heart. Are you with me? Unbelieving heart. And then comes dullness. It doesn't interest you. Then what happens is most of the time you look to hear something spectacular. Or you want to see the man of God just under the fire of God. Are you with me? Why? Because you've gone dull of hearing. Now, we don't want to do that. We start with looking to the Lord by saying, Lord, help me to find out from where I've drifted. So that, how have I hardened my heart against your word? If you look at your life, you'll suddenly find that unbelief in the church is one of the most scariest things. And that comes Because you have refused to obey the Lord and drifted away, you've just hardened. And if you continue in that kind of mindset, what happens is later on you become just dull. Just dull. Knowing a lot of the words sometimes, but just dull. No life. Still listening? Amen. Praise God. How many find this helpful today? Well, let's look to Luke chapter 8. Look through a lot of scriptures. The 8th chapter. And the 18th verse. Luke 8 and verse 18. Therefore, take heed how you... Read it with me if you are. Therefore, take heed... Yes, underline that word. How you hear. Mark chapter 4. Verse 24. Mark 4, 24. And he said to them, take heed what you... Come on, are you there? In Luke 8, it says, take heed how you hear. In Mark 4, it says, take heed what you hear. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Take heed. Okay, we've never gone through these kind of messages. Most of the time I come and just, I have a lot to minister through. And I thought to me, no. Get them to read, get them to think, get them to pray. So they'll just grow in maturity and know how to handle their lives. Take heed to what you hear. That's important. Don't listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Are you with me? Benin says he only listens to three people. Now I've made sure that even in material that I read or hear, I said, let me be very sure. See, what you eat becomes a part of you. So you should be very careful on what you eat. Do you hear that? What you eat becomes a part of you. So when you eat the Word of God, make sure that you're very sure of what you're eating. But that is to become a part of you. What am I eating? What kind of message am I listening to? I'm very sure. Amen? And how I hear, it's also important. Open with me Isaiah 66 and verse 2. For all things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Those of them who tremble at my word. See, John the Baptist came and preached. Can you imagine listening to a man of God like John and saying, kill him. I don't like what he say. I don't think I'll go to his church anymore. Just kill him. But his own conscience troubling him. Have you ever thought of that? Your own conscience troubling you? See, I was asking the Lord, Lord, into New Year, I was asking the Lord to give us a grace and anointing to preach on the judgment seat of God, on hell. If you look to what you want to hear, you will find whether you're walking in deception or not. If you're always wanting to hear prophecy and encouragement and strength, there's something wrong. Are you with me? You're walking to walk in bitterness. You're trying to live your life on bitterness, not solid food. But when you listen to the word of God, if you've got the heart where it says, Lord, I want to tremble at your word. My heart is open, Lord. Please speak to me. I want to obey you because I know your word contains power. I don't want to take your word for granted. You have created the heavens and the earth. All that you created belongs to you. What can I offer you, Lord? What you're looking for is my heart to be open before you. And when you come to that place where you say, Lord, speak. I don't want to take your word for granted. I don't want to have a roller coaster ride on your word. Lord, let your word work within my life to bring forth an effectual change. So I open my heart to you, Lord. Just communicate with me. I know you created the heavens and the earth. Can you imagine that God is saying, listen, I created the heavens and the earth, and I am looking for you. If your heart is trembling at my word, what can you give me? You say, I'll give you sacrifice, I'll praise and worship you, I will do many things for you. God says, no, that's not what I'm looking for. I create everything. Everything belongs to me. What I'm looking for is your heart trembling at my word. Some of you already said, Lord, I will serve you. I'll go to China. I'll go to Indonesia. I'll go to North India. I'll go anywhere, Lord. God said, no, I'm not looking for all that. What I'm looking for is your heart trembling at my word? Are you willing to listen to my word and obey it? Are you willing to reverence me and fear me? Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You come to a place where you say, Lord, I seek you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. See, it is speaking about 66 verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, earth is my, where is the house that you will build for me? Or what is the ministry that you will do for me? What is the ministry that you'll do for me? All these things my hand has made, God is saying. And all these things exist, says the Lord. But I am looking for someone. I am looking for the one who is poor, who knows his spiritual condition. The one who is a contrite spirit, which means humbled in my presence. And who is willing to tremble at my word. Who's willing to grab my word, to obey it, to reverence it, to treasure it more than anything else. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, church, are you still here tonight? He rejected the voice of his conscience. Are you with me? I was looking at this word in Mark 9, I believe, where it says, the Jesus himself speaking on hell. As a matter of fact, the Lord spoke on hell more than he spoke on heaven. Jesus himself. And he preaching on hell, he said, you're going, that's a place where the worms never die. Hear that? Where the worms never die. Have you ever thought of that? Jesus himself speaking about hell, he says, it's a place where the worms never die. Can you imagine that? I said, Lord, what does it mean? What are you trying to say? God said, the conscience. There'll be people in hell who will be saying, oh, wish I had obeyed the Lord when he spoke before. Wish I had prayed more. It is said, there that there's a place where the worm never dies. You know what it is? See, when you are in hell, I pray you won't. But if you need to know from the scripture, it says there in hell, can you imagine that? The desires, the ambitions, all that you had on earth will still work there, but you can never gratify it. If you're addicted to pornography and you have a desire for that, that desire will be still there in hell. Your soul will feel it. But you cannot fulfill it. If you're always wanting to drink, the desire to drink will still be there. But you cannot drink. If it is self-abuse and sexual immorality, you will still have a desire to do it. But no matter how many times you do it, you still am not fulfilled. And it is said that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost for those of them who are here, who belong to Jesus. Amen. The same way you will find that for those of them who are not in the Lord, even still that hell will be inside of them. They will be just restless. Have you looked at your life in any area of your life that is under bondage? No matter how many times you do the same thing, you're still not satisfied. You would want more of it. Drink. Drink as much as you want to. And say, tell me if you're satisfied. No. Watch pornography how much you want to. You want to say life? Say how much you want to. You want to self-abuse your life? Get into abuse? Do it. Say how much ever you want to. And tell me whether you are happy. You are restless. Why? Because a part of hell is working in your life. And I pray during these days of fasting and prayer, when you learn to tremble at God's word, once again the hand of God would come upon you and set you free. His conscience was troubling him. It is said that in hell people, the worms never die. Their conscience, what could I be? Oh my God, I should have taken that prayer seriously. It is said that people have, listening to a message where it spoke about a person. He suddenly felt the flames of fire around him and he knew he was in hell. And he knew the terribleness. He began to cry, and suddenly he was back in his senses. His wife, and he's trembling there. His wife is sitting there. Says, oh my God, it's a dream. I thought I'd gone to hell. It's a dream. He can hardly speak. She says, what's wrong with you? What's happening? Can I get you something to drink? Yeah. Where's the Bible? Where's the Bible? So she gets a Bible and starts to look. Please, who's preaching today? Where's the church service? What's happening? Where's the church service? I want to listen to it. I want to worship the Lord. I want to consecrate my life. I want to give up certain habits. I just want to dedicate my life. Where is it? And the Bible just comes into his hand. He says, oh, never will I despise it again. Where's the preacher? I will never despise the preacher again. Where is people who worship in spirit and truth? I want to worship with them. I'll never despise them. On the point of reading it, boom, he's back in hell again. You know why? The conscience still troubles him. I should have read that. I should have prayed. I shouldn't have kept for tomorrow. 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 Don't you know that voice? Have a look at your wife, any life, any area that's in under bondage. You will always keep that for tomorrow. You see that? I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying. Look, see, the voice of conscience. Are you with me? See, there are two, here it says, those who tremble at my word, you know what that word actually means? The fear of God we know, which is of some reverence for God. We know that, don't we? The fear of God. It also means the dread of God. The reverence for God is one thing that is there. It also means the dread. Isaiah 8, I believe, it says about, let my fear and my dread be in you. In other words, you understand biblical reality and you say, oh my God, whatever God says in His word is true. The wages of sin is death. I want to make sure that righteousness comes through faith in Christ and through His blood. Hear that? And the dread is there. I think it was Spurgeon who said there's not a single day where he gets up, he says, where I don't have a fear. And he says, that fear keeps me. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to drift away. I don't want to be a castaway from God's kingdom. That dread keeps it. Are you with me? Now God is listening and God is saying, listen. Who is it that will listen to me? That is the one that I'm looking to. When I was praying for the church, God said, listen, take it seriously. This is the message. I said, Lord, I don't have the guts to preach it. Because that's not what I want to preach. I want to preach all promises and blessings. And God said, no, son. It's fasting and prayer. I said, Lord, let me preach it on the third day. After they prayed and fasted and they really come to an openness. God said, no. Some of them already hard in their hearts. Let that anointing break their bond. Let them seek the face of God afresh. Are you with me? Rejected the voice of conscience. Rejected the voice of John the Baptist. Third, the reason why Jesus did not speak to Herod. Oh, boy. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You know why? Because Herod not only had not learned from his life where Jesus had not spoken, from where John the Baptist had spoken to kill him, its conscience. But when you look in the Bible, you will find from the Gospels to the Acts of the Apostles, there are four Herods that are mentioned. One when Jesus is born, one when the trying of Jesus, one when Peter is put in prison, James is killed by a Herod. One in Acts 28 where Paul is tried by another Herod, four Herods. And all of them are in the same family. Are you with me? And when you look at the genealogy of Herod, you will find that he's not a real Jew, but he is a descendant of Esau. No Old Testament Esau? Surprising. Herod is a descendant of Esau. So if he had to learn anything, he could have looked back and learned by looking at what happened to Esau. Come on, church. Come on. He had rejected his own past. He had not learned from history. He had not learned by looking at his own family line. He had looked back and said, Esau, what about him? Well, Hebrews 12 speaks about him. What does it say? Hebrews 12. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, the 16th verse, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. You hear that? But when you look at the scripture, it's amazing. Nowhere in the Old Testament does it say that Esau was a fornicator. Are you with me? Nowhere in the Old Testament does it say that. But Hebrews 12 says he was a fornicator. It actually means switching loyalties. Not loyal to a single person. Can you imagine that? And word profane means considering something as common. You would expect profane, that word, to mean somebody speaking dirty words. No, no, no. Something holy that is considered common. Hear that? Huh? Something holy considered common. It's amazing. Ezra was a person whose birthright didn't mean anything to him. He considered it common. See, Herod could have looked his own past, thought it was genealogy and seen. He came from a line where people were in the habit of rejecting a blessing by rejecting and by treating the blessing as a common thing. And I believe he had never learned from that. That is why even when John the Baptist came and God sent John the Baptist, he said, oh, it's a common thing. Prophets? Yeah. His pride. He said, it's common. You know what happens to most of the people? I believe, it's horrible. But what's happened is, there are so many people of God across the street that if you don't like what one preacher says, you can always get some other preacher, put a carpet for him, and make him sit there and tell you what you want to hear. ഇച്ചിരി പൈസ കൂടെ ഉണ്ടെങ്കിൽ രണ്ട് പപ്പടവും കൂടെ വാട്ടി ചോറൊന്നും ഉണ്ടാക്കി കൊടുത്താൽ മതി. പോകുമ്പോൾ ഒരു കവറോടെ കൊടുത്തിട്ടുണ്ടെങ്കിൽ വേണ്ടത് മാത്രമേ വാസ്തു പറയുള്ളൂ. കമാൻ. And so what happens is they have lost the real reverence for God's word. A kind of pride comes in. Herod is in a state of pride. He says, I reject. And finally he comes to a place where he says, Lord, come and stand in front of me and say something. Do something. Just want to see you work a miracle. See, the Lord is not a magician who just do a miracle. Boom. Don't treat him like one. Are you with me? He can release. He can deliver. He can send forth his word and set you free. But he is looking to see whether your heart is truly open and obedient and saying, Lord, I'm willing. Anybody here this evening? Amen. Tonight, this is the word that God gave me. John the Baptist did not hear anything from Jesus. And let me tell you, you will not also. You might listen to a lot of messages, but you won't hear actually what God wants to say to you if you have already killed his voice, if you have already silenced your conscience, you know what you're doing is wrong, and you still continue in it without repenting. Let me tell you, you will not find a fresh word for God from God coming to you. Third, if you have not learned from your past. Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to come before the Lord and say, Lord, we allow you to look at the one who trembles at your word, who honors your word. I open my heart to you. I open my life to you. I don't want to be a profane person. I don't want to come. See, I look at some of people's attitude when they come into a church. Last week I rebuked one of the boys who came here. Coming for Sunday worship, I said, when you come for worship, come with the best clothes. The best that you have. Are you with me? I know he's got plenty of best shirts, but he doesn't. Something that is, why? That shows the attitude. When you come for worship, clean shave your face. Look smart. Comb your hair. If you're going to a club, you would do it, wouldn't you? How much more when you come to worship the Lord? Why? Because we're considering it all common. Taking it for granted. If you have the best clothes, wear it for the Lord. look the best. Amen. Come on, church. When you give to the Lord, don't give the dirtiest note. The best. Are you with me? When you worship the Lord, give your best to Him. Treating it as common. That very praise that you're despising has got the power to strengthen you and set you free. Listen to the word of God. Come with an open heart. Come with your Bible. Say, Lord, I take your word in. Amen. And when you have heard the word, go back and meditate on it. Don't allow the enemy to steal away the word immediately. Let the word bear fruit. And say, which is that you're asking me to obey? Let me do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me give you that one more scripture here. See, we shared in Isaiah 66:2. Open with me Psalms 55. See, he looks at the one who trembles at the word. The one who is willing to fear and reverence the Lord and actually have a dread of Him. Look to Psalms 55 and verse 19. God will hear and afflict them, even if he who abides from old. Next verse is important. Because they did not change, therefore they do not fear God. Why have you lost your reverence for God? Because you don't want to change. Hear that? Because they do not change, therefore they do not. If you're comfortable the way you are, and if you already planned your mind and thought about how much you will change, or whether you won't, as well go home and watch TV and sit there. You hear that? Lord, I am open to change, to correction. I want to fear you and reverence you and honor your word. I'm not looking for a miracle, but I'm looking for you. I'm not looking for sensationalism and excitement, but I want to make sure that my heart is bent on worshiping you and reverencing you and looking to your face. When you do that, you will find the hand of God coming and setting free. How many of you want that? Lift your hand. Amen. Let's pray together this evening. We're just fasting and praying. So I would ask you to, if you want to pray, and if you want to kneel down in the presence of God, or you want to stand up and pray, but close your eyes and pray. Tonight. I'm sorry. Lord, I confess to you my sin. I'm sorry for disobeying, not for reverencing you. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry for not obeying you. Forgive me. Pray tonight. Let his hand reach out and set free. Pray tonight. Oh, hrudayam kadinamagada kartavude chodi kartavude manasari vidaraname. എന്റെ ഹൃദയത്തിന്റെ കഠിനത മാറ്റണമേ. Tonight, come on, church. This word is meant to be a blessing for you. When you respond to the word, ask him to change you. Radachana kamana sambarachana. Open your heart and pray. ഹൃദയം ഏൽപ്പിച്ചുകൊടുത്ത് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുക. ബുദ്ധിയിൽ നിന്നല്ല പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നത്, ഹൃദയത്തിൽ നിന്ന് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുക. ഹൃദയം താത്തി ഏൽപ്പിക്കുക. ഹല്ലേലൂയ്യ.
hands, Lord. You are the potter, we are the clay. Father, mold our hearts. Mold our hearts, Lord. Melt it, Lord, and mold it. Father, during these days, we pray that you give us a new heart, Lord. Take away that heart of stone. Take away that heart, Lord, that does not yield to you. Take away, Lord, that heart that is hard in your presence. And give us a heart, Lord, that yields to you. Lord, the mountains melt like wax before you. May our hearts, Lord, melt before you. May we never be hard before you, Lord, that you cannot work. But Lord, may we melt before you, precious Father. Melt before you, Father. Take our hearts, Lord, and mold it.
Yes, Jesus.
Give us a heart, Lord, that trembles at your word. Give us a heart that trembles at your word, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Declares in Isaiah 36 and verse 26 that he will take away a heart of stone and give us a new heart. Oh, maybe he did that for you once, but he is willing to do it again for you. Ask him to give you a heart of flesh that will obey his word and keep his statutes and to walk in his ways, that will be full of his spirit, a clean heart, a pure heart. Ask him tonight in faith, in the name of Jesus, as the Father.